Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
I actually understand something now. I have came here before, and it didn't really make sense to me today. Y'all have a trophy out here that says mud volleyball. I understand that now, I think. That's what y'all have, isn't it? It's pretty flat land around. Is that how you won that, mud volleyball? No?
No.
So what y'all are going to have here if you play today too, right? Okay. Just checking. All right. Want to open up with a thought, and I'm not going to be here, so I'll just read you a verse, and then we'll go to where we're going to light down. Because a thought that has been impressed upon me, and the Lord's Supper kind of cemented that this morning, thinking about how the Lord put an emphasis on his death. Remember my death. I think it was brought out several different ways. Didn't say remember all this other stuff, wonderful things that he did, but remember my death. And that's what we came this morning, remember that death was for us. But the verse I wanted to read, and it, like I said, it kind of cemented, I wanted to start with this verse because the Lord's Supper this morning is in Ecclesiastes, and I'm usually more prepared. I didn't prepare it this morning, but it hit me. Ecclesiastes 7:1 says, "A good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of one's death than the day of one's birth." Think about that. I know the Lord was talking about something different, but it just kind of brought that verse to mind this morning, because I want to speak to you this morning a few things on the life of Joseph. And I surely think that could apply to Joseph, couldn't it? What name did he leave behind? Very special. You even have Pharaoh. You don't get any higher in the land, humanly speaking, than Pharaoh was. And what did Pharaoh say? And y'all, this hits me like a ton of brick, because working where I do in a jail right now, my terminology would be, Pharaoh said this about an ex-con. You know, ex-cons aren't talked highly about a lot of times. But y'all, in the Lord, it's wonderful. He says in Genesis 41:38, and Pharaoh said to his servants, "Can we find such a one as this? Can we find such a one as this? A man in whom the Spirit of God." A man in whom is the Spirit of God. What a statement Joseph made. And again, that's after being in this man's jail, a prison. It probably doesn't even classify right to call it a jail, because jail is generally something that people are in and out of. Prison is where you go and serve time. He was in a prison. And some of y'all, I think, go to prisons. Isn't that correct here? Yeah. Okay. This is nothing like we go to, I'm sure. Because I don't work in a prison, but I go to a prison. I was going when you were back in Augusta, whatnot, probably. Still going on. Yeah, I've been doing it for like 30 years. I won't go there. Prison. Y'all, our prisons are probably nothing compared to the ones that these fellows was in. Paul gives us a little description, doesn't he? There was a hole that they drop your whatever you needed to survive on. That's the type that he was in. A lot of times they were dungeons. A good name. It's better than precious ointment in the day of one's death than the day of one's birth. Don't we have a whole lot of wonderful things? And it was brought out this morning at the Lord's Supper. Oh, what a wonderful, the birth of Jesus Christ, the miraculous birth of Jesus Christ. Heaven opened up, angels sang. Angels told the shepherds. Shepherds left everything because of the importance of going and seeing that very special one, the Messiah. But he didn't say, remember that. And we make a big deal, and rightfully so, of little babies. But this is telling us the day of one's death is more important. What do we leave people to remember us? What have we done? The fellow that was partially, the Lord was totally responsible, but the fellow that I think that one of his death wishes was that he wanted me to be in prison ministry. And he didn't know he was going to die when he went to work one day, but he had been asking me to go into prison ministry for years. And I probably told you the story, but a little different view of it. His funeral, which is where they asked me to go and fill in for him, and I went, and the guy got saved. And I think I've told you all that. And I've been going ever since. That's been 30-something years ago. 30 years ago, probably. But the point I'm making is his funeral. Unbelievable. Just floored everyone. All the people that did not know each other that came to that man's funeral. I walked up and talked to a couple of them. And I heard things. The guy worked at a phone company. Just an unassuming phone man. Climbed telephone poles every day. A lineman on telephone. Y'all, people from that funeral that I talked to, I'll just tell you a couple of the things that they said. The packed house. Parking lot, standing room only. Parking lot overflowed out in a field behind our chapel. You'd have been there, know what I'm talking about. People said things like, he bought one of the auctioned vans from Southern Bell and gave me so I could do my business. My van blew up and I... as a plumber, he said, and I didn't have any way to do my business, and I didn't have any money. He gave me a van and told me whenever I could pay him back, be fine. And it didn't run, and you know what? He helped me fix it. Another guy says, oh, he helped me rebuild a motor. People from Camp Hope, he went up there and he worked every chance he got. Y'all, this fellow was really unusual. And it came out at his funeral. Just amazed me. I had a clue that this guy was that way, and he would never tell anybody. You would not have known. I had a clue because I was asked to head up a project at our chapel, and it required some heavy-duty work. And I mentioned it to him, and the next week when I come to the chapel, I noticed it was done. And he worked every day. He had to go over in the dark and after work and do that. And I thought, no, we were going to do a work day. I just wanted you to help me get together some project on some material and people and what we need. Very special guy. I had a clue. He lived what this is saying. Joseph did too. It's a challenge for you and I. What are we going to leave? And some say, all children in the faith. Or biologically. Yeah. Walked out of the chapel the other day, and I don't toot my horn, but this guy drove up, and he had actually texted me on my phone, and he said that he would be in Augusta, and it was actually as our meeting was changing from Sunday school to 11 o'clock service. He said, I'll meet you out in the parking lot. What you driving? He said, I'm on the way to the airport. I won't have but 10 minutes. And he walked up and grabbed and hugged me, and he says, you know you're my father. Wow. You led me to the Lord 11 years earlier, and he's out of prison and doing great. He's on his way to the airport to fly back out of Augusta. He lives in Savannah. That made me feel good. I got to preach right after that, and it was he lifted me up. We don't know sometimes either. But that verse hit me this morning from our Lord's Supper with the Lord saying, remember his death. We should be thinking, what leaves planet Earth? God's word and people? We should be very interested in both of those, people and God's word. And again, Joseph, with Pharaoh saying, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? Joseph's life, I think we're going to look at this morning a few things that's going to show us that the Spirit of God was evident in that man's life. And y'all, he had it a lot worse than you do. He had it a lot worse than I do. A lot worse than I could ever imagine of me pulling through or pulling out of. That man did. And yet here was his testimony, shining bright. So bright that at the end of all of his mistreatment, he was able to say, God meant it for good. You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. In Genesis 50, verse 20. I want us to look at two things, though, this morning. We'll probably kind of see two things that just come out, whether if I say it or not, you will notice these two things as we look at Joseph. And one is that he has a life of faith, and it's tested. So we'll look at faith being tested. If y'all been saved very long, do I need to tell you that expect that? Your faith will be tested. And it seems like every time we have a wonderful time with the Lord, expect something. I know the guys that get out of prison, I will hear this many, many times. Heard it and will probably hear it again. The last person I ever needed to see was right there the week I got out. Well, yeah. You get saved in prison, I tell them, I said, it's like a snowball. You take a snowball and it starts rolling and it gets bigger and it gets more powerful. And I said, he wants to stop you right when you get out. Because in prison, you were growing by leaps and bounds, doing your Bible studies, things that you didn't do when you were on the outside. Now he wants to stop you. And Satan is a master at that type of thing. But we'll see testing of faith. And then we'll see when you can take and have true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you trust him and give thanks to him and leave him there. You'll see victory in your faith. So testing and then victory, both concerning your faith, we'll see. I think so many today, reason we don't read about all of these wonderful things that we can read about in the Bible with these men and women, things they did, is I don't think we have the faith that they had. Maybe we have too many distractions today. Too many things, the speed we live at. Oh yeah, we're supposed to be able to retire. Talk to people that retire and they say, how did I ever have time to work? I'm so busy. The people that I talk to. Well, a verse in 1 Peter kind of reminds me of this. It says the genuineness, 1 Peter 1:7 says, the genuineness of your faith, much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. The genuineness of your faith. Is my faith and your faith, is it genuinely in the one it needs to be in? Is it a genuine, true faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Because it's going to come under testing. How's this going to hold up under the heat? The fact that testing here on planet Earth is evident in Joseph's life, and the triumphs that we'll see that he had by continuing to trust, I think we need to realize a few things. And the first one is that once you get saved, not a lot of you in here are saved. I would be probably wrong to assume that everyone always is saved, so I don't. But let's just say that most of you know Jesus Christ. And God knows your heart. It doesn't matter what you tell me. You can all walk out the door and tell me that you're saved. I will praise the Lord, you know. Thank you. But God sees right through you. And he knows who is and who isn't. Who's thinking about it. Who's playing games because of their parents. There's a lot of things that go on. He knows your heart. But y'all, once you do get saved, I'm saved. Once you do get saved, you get the Holy Spirit. Oh, that's a wonderful thing. You get the Holy Spirit of God. I'm going to read a verse. Well, there's a lot of different verses on that you can go to. My brain kind of races when I do. I wrote one verse down, but I've got two or three others that pop in my mind as I even think about it. 1 Corinthians 3:16. 1 Corinthians 3:16 I'll read, and there's a couple of others that just come to my mind even when I wrote that one down. So it's not me telling you, it's God. Do you not know? Do you not know that you are the temple, that's written to believers, the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you. It's been said, and you've heard questioned before, would you be watching that or would you be listening to that if Jesus was sitting right there beside you? Well, y'all, if you're a believer, he's there with you. And if you read the end of Romans 8, you'll find out you're not going to shake him. He's there through all. You may leave. You may move over. He doesn't move. He's there with you. We need to be careful of our testimony. The Holy Spirit is just a wonderful thing. And like I say, I was thinking of Romans 5:5 as I was going to that one. Now hope does not disappoint because the love of God have been poured out in your hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to you or given to us. And then another one that I tell inmates sometimes is 1 John 4:13. 1 John 4:13. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us because he has given us the Holy Spirit. We need to realize that. Y'all, this is major help. You don't get any better help than this because we are going to be tested. You might be under testing. You might be going through some tests and trials right now. Understand the devil. And James tells us in James chapter 1 that God does not tempt you. Now, he tests you. Test is what? Test is where you go through something, you give it over to the Lord, you trust him like we're going to see Joseph did. God gets you through it and you give him the glory for it and he gets the honor and the glory for it. Wonderful. Start, middle, and beginning. Now, tempting. Oh, that's like putting a carrot out there. Got a carrot out there wanting to get you to take it. God doesn't do that. There is no evil in God, the verse tells us. He cannot tempt you because he doesn't have any evil in him to tempt you. So don't ever say, God's tempting me. He does not tempt you. You go through tests because that's where you learn. And I hate to apply it to school. Got some young people in here, but when do you study the most in school? When you have a test. Yeah. How do you pass to another grade? You go to the test. You make good on a test. That's the basic principle of your spiritual maturity. You get tested and you pass. What do? You remain where you are, serving the Lord at the best of your ability, right where you are, involved with exactly what he has you doing, if you're walking right with him, and you stay right there and obey him, and he will give you more. That's just the basic way God works. You grow by passing tests. And we're going to see, these are some tough tests. To me, it would be like almost, well, remember Jethro and Granny? And he comes home and says, what did you learn today? He says, gazenters. I said, gazenters? Yeah, he says, two gazenter four, two times, Granny. That's like in that stage of math, and then somebody says, well, let's look at some AP calculus. Y'all, Joseph's tests were that tough. Y'all, he was able to handle that type of test. Why? Because he was noticed that the Spirit of God, he allowed to rule and govern his life. Y'all, as believers, we're indwelled with the Holy Spirit. We're well on the way. Don't turn a blind eye or deaf ear to the Holy Spirit. It's there to help us. And y'all, when you're saved, not just you have the Holy Spirit, you're an heir. You're adopted into his family. And you're an heir to, I don't think I have a chance of getting anything sizable, but maybe some of you do. Maybe you're heir to something one day. I mean, you could think like Prince Charles or somebody, you know, say, wow, that's nothing. You're an heir to the Creator of the whole universe. You're adopted into his family. Adopted with adult privileges and rights. That's the point I wanted to make. And then indwelt with the Holy Spirit to help us through the testing that we go through. Why should people fail tests? I don't know. Do I know believers that fail tests? Yes. And over, some of the same ones. I don't think they have to, by no means. I want to look at a verse that is an excellent, well, all the verses are good, but these are two of my favorites. Romans 8, and we're going to look at verse 16 and 17. Romans 8, verse 16 and 17 says, "The Spirit, capital S, Spirit of God," y'all. This is God, Spirit. "Himself bears witness with our spirit." That's the little S, that's you. "The Spirit Himself," God, "bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." Again, to believers. "And if children, then heirs. And heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed," you know, it would be good if it ended there. "But if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Saying the same thing that we just said. There's testing. There's suffering. Not exactly the way you would pick. Probably not a way you would elect to jump in there and grow, by suffering. God didn't ask your opinion, did He? We go through times of suffering. We had a bombshell dropped on us, and I'm sure I've mentioned this to y'all too, but we had the little one-year-old granddaughter, cancer, and Christy's kid. But she's fine now. She's fine now. But had cancer, and you talking about, did we pray a lot? Did we call people and say, "Hey, pray for this"? You better believe it. It was a test. She's a survivor, and she's 9 years old now. That happened when she was like 14 months, 12 months, 14 months or something. Wonderful success story. The youngest person to be in the cancer walk for American Cancer Society, and they put her on the front page and all this stuff. You know, rode around in a little golf cart, and she got up there and she held a little poster. The little poster on one side said, "Write something good and something bad about your cancer." She put it on the front, totally on her own now. This was when she was 7 or 8. Anyway, a couple years ago, she totally on her own. We didn't even know she was doing it, and they had her do it when she went up there to get her little T-shirt, different colored shirt when you cancer survivor in the walk, so they can recognize survivors. And she was probably the only extra small. But it said on the front side, "I found out I had cancer at 14 months old." Now the good side turned it over. "God saved me with the help of Dr. Hatley," it was that she put down there. And they texted that to the doctor that was on duty at the hospital, and he texts back to this nurse and says, "You just made my day." But she put God first on me a little, and she got saved, and I got the privilege of baptizing her a couple years ago. Wonderful story. Was it a test? Yeah. Did we turn it over to the Lord? Yes. I mean, something like that, you don't have a choice. It's totally out of your control. And I remember my daughter and I sitting there talking, and she said, "Dad, I just realized something." I mean, this is an astounding assumption for probably 24-year-old or 25-year-old at that time. She says, "Dad, I just realized if money can fix a problem, you didn't have a problem." It's the things money can't fix. And I started thinking, that's a truth that you're well beyond your years, girl. Y'all, there's some things we totally have to go to with the Lord and turn it over to Him. Isn't that what Joseph did? How could he control the brothers that wanted to kill him? He turned it over to the Lord. That verse reads, "The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together." Now, y'all give me something else at the Lord's Supper, and I got a pen from my wife and wrote this one down. The Lord's table this morning helped me put a couple things in this message. Y'all did this one too. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Some brother said this, used this verse. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. I said, oh, I need that verse too. Oh, that's God's word right there. You desire to live godly in Christ Jesus, you will suffer persecution. I've heard a couple of conversations here, and at my chapel I hear them regularly, about the world we live in. It's a world that you suffer persecution when you stand up from the Lord in a lot of areas. Public arena for sure. Public service for sure. Go try to make a speech at a public gathering and mention the name Jesus Christ two or three times. They probably want to edit your next speech before you're allowed to get up. It is not popular with the world. The world, though, being a system that's opposed to God. That's the world that you are required to live in while you're here. And you can see why we're told, make sure that we don't grow roots too big. Suffering precedes glory, according to these thoughts and verses. Have you ever thought about that? Before glory in your life will go to the Lord, you're going through some suffering generally. That's what these verses tell us. There's some type of suffering and persecution you will go through prior to giving the Lord glory and honor. What is glory anyway? Glory is a admiration for doing something great or outstanding. Glory, yeah. Or maybe glory could be a condition of a highest achievement attained. Before that glory goes to the Lord, you will be. And if you're not suffering any type of persecution from the world, you're not making much difference probably. You're not standing out to where they realize that you're a believer. I walk up to certain, which now it's easy for me because they know my position is there to be a Christian where I work. So take that for granted. That's a given when I walk up to a group of people. But you're amazed how often they have to quit about halfway through their dirty joke. When I walk down the hall and walk up to a group of people, they stop talking. I said, oh, got y'all, didn't I? They don't get to finish their dirty joke and they disband. We're not that popular in a lot of circles of the world today. We also see in our Bible that God used people, and He will use us a lot of times outside of our comfort zone. It may not be exactly where you desire to be used. God will put you. And that's very easy to figure out, because a lot of times if you put yourself, say I just absolutely love baseball. Well, I want God to use me in baseball. It might be too much of myself in baseball, self in there. He wants to put me somewhere else. Probably in some jungle in Africa. I don't know. But it's just an extreme example. You can see what I'm saying. A lot of times it's too much self. So He'll put us out of our comfort zone. The life of Joseph tells us very strongly, that a person can live a pleasing life for the Lord no matter what your peers, no matter what your family, or what your society around you is doing. We don't have those excuses that people use. Well, you don't work where I work. You don't know what I have to put up with. God does, and He can have you victorious over it. All three, His peers, His family, and His society, all three were rotten in Joseph's day. None of them were God-fearing people. Who would have ever expected, surely Joseph would not have, that he would have been at a very young age, 17, he would have been sold as a slave.
sold as a slave, a piece of property to someone that he had no clue, going into a land that he didn't know the culture, he didn't know the language, and they worshiped some foreign god that he didn't know anything about, but he knew it was false. Y'all, he had it bad. Not only he was sold as a slave, it was by his family, the people dearest to him, to a foreign country. He was falsely accused soon, falsely accused, found guilty, sentenced, didn't do anything wrong, but found guilty and sentenced and put in prison. But he was still seeking the Lord through all of this. We read that he kept his faith in God. Wow. Through all of that, Joseph, what an example to look up to. A picture and type we were thinking of this morning. He surely is a picture and type of Christ in a lot of ways in the Old Testament. Y'all, he didn't have Romans 8:28 either. All things work together for good. You know, we can claim that one. He didn't have that one, did he? Hadn't been written yet. But he had God. And it said that Holy Spirit was seen evident in him. He had all he needed, didn't he? Just like David going up against Goliath. He didn't have all his modern technology, AR-15 or whatever you want to have. You know, he didn't have those. All he had was a little old sling, what a little pebble. And didn't even have that. He picked it up on the way to Goliath, did he? He had to pick up one in the stream. He was going there with just a sling. It's part of his little makeup there, his little bag. That's all he needed, wasn't it? One plus God's always a majority. We need to realize. And he could say, God meant it for good. He went through a lot of testing, didn't he? You know the one that I admire, I'll make sure I don't forget this one, I'll say it now. But the one that I admire probably as much as any of the tests that this man went through and he did well, y'all, is one that if you're like me, you would have failed. I may would have passed a couple of his, but not many. But the one that he passed that I think would have struggled with, probably most of us, and for sure, me, was that extreme success. I mean, he came from the ex-con. The piece of property, the slave piece of property, to be number two man in the land, and number one, let him do anything he wanted. Here's your stamp. Make any decision. And we catch a clue that he was always considered a slave. My wife and I was talking about this, because he had to get permission if he wanted to go anywhere outside the country, didn't he, for his brothers or his daddy or any of that. He still knew his place, but yet he had freedom to run that country. And anybody came in, as his brothers found out the hard way, he was boss. Did it affect him? No. Boy, we need some people in politics like that, don't we? Ain't going there. It affects people. Y'all, it's that. If the Spirit of God is not ruling your life, that will. And that's a test that I'm not going to ever kill anybody or rape anybody or all this kind of stuff. Yeah, but boy, that lust is a big one of money. The rich young ruler, he came and he was a little bit better than most of us. But he wasn't willing to turn loose the stuff, was he? He wanted to hold on and he lost everything unless he changed. He passed that test. That Spirit of God can get you through stuff that's tough. I can't imagine the guys that sit outside the hole. He was in a cistern. Thankfully, God put him in one that was dry. But he was in a cistern down in the ground, an old water hole dried up, couldn't get out of it. And they were sitting there partying and having supper while he's down there screaming for his life. You know he was. Probably everything from, get me out of here. All right, it's not funny anymore. Come on, guys, it's over. The joke's over. You can have the coat. You know, whatever he wanted to say. Y'all, and they were so cold that they were sitting there eating and enjoying a meal. Now, how could you eat and enjoy a meal while you're killing your brother, your own flesh and blood? They were cold. That's a hard one. And he got to see the wrong end of that, didn't he? That was a test. God meant it for good. Yeah, you meant it for evil. Oh, what's he going to do to us? He's going to kill us. He probably, most people would have. Y'all, the Spirit of God could take all of those things out of us. I pray that we realize that the love of God indwells, that Romans verse, he puts that hope and that love of God indwells us by his Spirit. Now you can adopt a kid. Maybe some of you are here have adopted children, or you're adopted children in here. I don't know. Doesn't matter. But you adopt a child, you don't know certain given factors about them when they grow up. And I'm sure there's been some nervous nights. Boy, I hope they come to know the Lord, because I don't know what kind of genetics are coming into play here. I heard about his daddy, and now his mama, she's still out there on the street somewhere. You know, you can have all these things. Say, man, what is this child going to be like? You can't adopt a child and give him your nature. You can give him your address. You can give him your money if you have some. You can give him your name. But you can't give him your nature. Y'all, when God takes us into his family, he gives us his nature. And that's love. Let's act like it. Joseph did. He was very forgiving. What a man to look at here. Very forgiving. It reminds me of Paul saying, because he went through all of this and he didn't lose his faith. The Holy Spirit, y'all, the same one you and I have indwelling in us, he had. And what was one of the lines that Paul said that fits so nicely? Christ in you is your hope of glory. Wow. Are y'all saved? Is Christ in you? If so, the Bible that cannot lie tells you that's a hope of glory you have. Glory! Now, anybody want to try to explain, not right now, but you can later, try to explain to me God's glory, how big it is? That's like his power. Holds all things together. Any of you in here understand how all things can be held together? Just take planet Earth. Forget all the other things. Planet Earth being held right here. And not spinning off somewhere. We don't freeze or burn up. Wow. How about his glory? Y'all, that's your hope. Jesus Christ in you. Do people see Jesus Christ in me? They did Joseph. Before Jesus Christ incarnate. They saw the Spirit of God in that man. Because he was different. He didn't react like everybody else. Woe is me. What's going to happen? That's kind of like Mary when she found out she was pregnant and she had been doing everything right. Wow, you just ruined my family's name. She didn't say that. Be it unto me according to your word. Wow. Some of your Bible greats have something in common, don't they? They allowed God to be real and living in them and got self out of the way, and it makes a difference. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Christ in us to produce righteous character. Sometimes it's necessary that this is done through suffering, as we've already said. Probably would not be our method of choice. But suffering has been used by God to mold many great believers throughout the years. And that's what he desires to do with you or me. Paul said it well in Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, Paul was a powerful man. Before he met Jesus Christ, he was a powerful man. I realized that working with the jail system. Could you imagine today if somebody just could walk down the street and arrest and throw the key away to anybody he wanted to? He was powerful. And he turned. Oh, that Spirit of God is a wonderful thing, isn't it? Was he ruled by it? Absolutely. he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Also, another New Testament verse that he wrote is in Ephesians 1:19. It says, what is the exceeding greatness? Ephesians 1:19. Exceeding greatness of his power. God's power toward us who believe. Ask yourself that. What is the exceeding greatness of God's power toward us who believe? Wow. His power is limitless. We just said that a minute ago. You can't put that in your little box. It won't fit. You can't wrap your brain around it. But he puts that toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. Another New Testament verse. Y'all, think about Joseph. Born into a family, and I ain't going to get in trouble. I'm not going to get in trouble here because I got to ride all the way home with my wife. But could you imagine, guys, having four wives in the same home? Wow. Well, my mama said, that's a good mama, that's a my mama. Oh, I just cannot imagine what this fellow went through. And he did good. And on top of having four women running the house, y'all thinking now, somebody, I wonder who was praying for poor old Jacob. Four women running the house. Here you had, he was daddy's favorite. And his mama was known by daddy telling everybody that she's my favorite. Wow. I mean, he had several strikes against him when he started. Poor guy hadn't took a good breath, and here he had a few things against him. You the baby. Anybody knows babies have it made, right? My brother did. Oh. My daddy learned how to discipline on me, and then he found out it didn't work. My brother had it made. It did work. Oh, you got my mama. Oh, you got to do something to that boy. He's driving me crazy. So he does something, and she says, oh, you're going to kill him. Quit, quit. Well, you can't satisfy a woman. I talk about my mama. She'll never hear this. Y'all, four wives, 11 sons, him being the baby, and coming from daddy's absolute favorite, it's logical to see how they didn't like him. And then on top of that, there was a cultural thing that a special coat was for the one that was going to have the birthright or the heir to things. And boy, when daddy gave him that colored tunic, that just was like putting match on the gas. When he got to the hole, that's in the prisoners, oh, we're going to put him in the hole. That's what they do in jail. But when he got to it, put him in the hole, well, the first thing they said was, get that, they jerked the tunic off of him. Now, what's he going to say about all of his dreams? What's the dreamer going to do now? Y'all, they had a lot of things against him, didn't they? I'm going to be above you, and you're going to bow down, and you're going to bow down to me. Well, you're just a little squirt. Are we going to bow down to you? And you telling my mama and daddy they're going to bow down to you too? Well, that was the dream. Y'all, he stayed true to God. And what did those dreams look like to him for 13 years? I don't want to say how we've almost got a cakewalk compared to him, but he stayed true. It's a wonderful fellow to look at. And he's real to me because I deal with prisoners every day. And And he went to his brothers, went out with them one day and come back and give a bad report on them. Oh, just bad got worse. And that's why they didn't like him even more. And in the coat, don't ever forget that. Y'all, closing this thing up. If he only looked at the circumstances, it would have been bad. If you only looked at your circumstances, if you only look at your circumstances, you could lose hope. Y'all, we have the Lord that's above all of this. He's still on the throne. I tell myself that sometimes. When I looked at our choice of mayor in the paper the other day, just coming up, there isn't one there I would vote for. I said, the God's still on the throne. Proverbs 20:24 says, a man's steps are of the Lord. How then can a man understand his own way? Moses, we're told about Moses in Acts 7:25 that he had problems that they would not believe that he could deliver them. When God sent him to them, said they're unbelieving through Moses. Y'all, we have to understand, Joseph never thought that his following the Lord would take him to Egypt as a slave and a prisoner. Abraham never thought about leaving a nice house following the Lord. He would live in a tent the rest of his life. But you'd trade places with either one of those if you're me. They were mighty men of God who did great things. I don't think anybody saw at the time, they didn't see what was going on. You today cannot see what God is doing in our world today. Tomorrows, as they come, you can look and see what has happened. You don't have a clue, and neither do I. But we can learn from God, who does not change, how he deals with us. And we can see how men who put their faith and trust in God daily and allowed him to lead them, guide them, and direct them, things went very positive. Think about, God knew there was going to be a famine, and he knew he was going to save his people. God knew these things. God knew they were such a small little group of people where they were, they could have been annihilated at any given time by a band of people that were mad. God knew that where they were at that time, they would have starved when that famine came. Look at what all God was doing, y'all. His plans are so far above our thinking. And yet we want to go, well, we're kind of like the Google map thing. Well, I don't want to know where I'm going, and I want to know exactly how I'm going to get there, and I want the shortest route to get there. God doesn't always work that way. Abraham didn't even know where he was going, but he was following God. Joseph never had a clue that he was going to jail. He never had a clue he was going to be a slave. But he was willing to follow God through the times of suffering. And there was glory. I don't know if some of you are going through times of suffering right now. But I hope this is encouragement to see God is bigger than anything ahead of you or staring you in the face right now. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, you don't have a help of the Holy Spirit indwelling you that us that are saved have. That was the key. That's the key to get it going. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for Joseph. And we do thank you for him being an example of the day of one's death is more important to you than the day of one's birth. Father, help us to be considering that we all are trying to finish well, that each day we're considering your return at any time, and that we're striving to walk with you and not ahead or behind. Or Father, we just thank you for the Holy Spirit that indwells us as believers. Thank you for your word. Help us to be men and women of your word. So Lord, we just thank you for this look at your word. We thank you for people like Joseph and Abraham and Moses and Paul, these different ones we've thought about this morning, and how they're such positive examples, even in negative circumstances, of allowing you to work in their life. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.